I'm Blake Giles.
And I'm Jim Harden.
This is Sidelines.
And Headlines.
And we're back to talk to you about some high school and college sports and maybe a little bit of Falcons, too.
They broke our hearts again.
Oh, man, did they?
For about 50 years, they've been breaking my heart.
Look, we're watching that game, and my wife says, I don't like the way this is going. Said, I know how this is going to end. And it ended just the way we thought it was going to end.
And they had a chance to tie it with a field goal because the guy misses the extra point for Tampa Bay, and then they missed the field goal. It was just unbelievable.
You know, he did kick the one before they called the timeout, and it was good, but it went just inside the left upright. And I wondered after the fact, did he subconsciously or even consciously say, I'm going to adjust that a little bit to the right, and that adjustment makes a difference. I don't know.
I saw where they signed a new kicker today.
Did they?
He's going on the practice squad. I can't remember the guy's name. But just one thing about the NFL. I know we want to talk about high school and college. I heard you, I don't know who said this, but I've heard the comment, the NFL is the ultimate meritocracy, meaning, the ultimate competitive business. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the final scores in all the NFL games, there's a couple that were blowouts.
Right.
But they're all close down to the end. I told myself, I'm going to watch the first quarter and see how the Falcons look. I really should just watch the fourth quarter because it's every game.
Mm-hmm.
It's within a score or two, and either team has a chance to win at the end. It's so much parity.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
That Sunday night game, I mean, the NFL just came out like a bandit with that game with the Bills, that comeback win against Baltimore. I mean, that was an incredible football game, an incredible comeback, and it had so many elements to it and such a huge comeback. And
well, they're so good. It's amazing to me how, when you look back now, we talked about Belichick last week. I mean, how in the world were they so good so long?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how's the Chiefs doing what they're doing? Because everybody's so good. Everybody does the same thing.
Yeah. There's no secrets. We got this secret play over here. Everybody knows what everybody does. And they all run pretty much the same style offense. Damn. And that's one thing I don't like about it. It's not as much variety. That's what one of the great things about high school football.
Oh, I know.
Man, you just never know what you're going to see. You may still run across wishbone, single wing.
Wing T, spread formation.
It's all over the map.
It is.
What you're going to get. So it's always interesting to see what you're going to see. Now, you went to a game Friday.
I did. I went to see Athens Academy and John Millage Academy out of Milledgeville. John Millage has been really good in the independent league. They got a former Georgia Bulldog as their coach, JT Wall. He was a fullback, kind of as the fullback was getting phased out of football. I think he might have played a little bit on the practice squad with the Steelers or something. Anyway, his son, Asa Wall, who's a 10th grader, has supposedly got about 10 offers, Georgia and all kinds
of people. What's his position?
Of course, he plays like a linebacker on defense, but he's a tight end, kind of fullback guy, but really good-looking athlete. But I'm telling you, when we talked to Josh Alexander, and we talked about when it's a critical situation in the game, don't think plays, think players. He is getting it in the hands of his two guys.
Prince and Standard for those two guys.
Yeah, yeah. They are really good.
Yeah.
And I think those guys are
Peyton Prince and Keon Stanford. They've been the guys every week. Those are the names that come up. And this was – I noticed Keon had another big game. Did he run a punt back or an interception?
He had an interception. Yeah. I didn't stay for the whole game. I think it ended up 28-14, which it just felt like Athens Academy was in control pretty much from the beginning. But those guys are good.
I mean,
I think if he's getting the ball in their hands and they're clicking, they can they can play. They've really bounced back from that first loss.
Well, if I had to say, looking ahead to this week, the biggest game is probably going to be North Oconee and Jefferson from what I've seen in this area. They're both unbeaten, and these are two teams that have had tremendous success. Hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with Tyler Arntz the coach up at Jefferson, who used to be at Oconee County,
that's right,
Nolan, and get with those guys sometime down the line. But what a game that will be.
There's another big one that's we can adopt some of these outlying schools when it's convenient for us. And Carrollton's coming to Gainesville.
That'll
be a brawl.
All right.
Two big time.
Now, was Carrollton, were they on TV last week?
I think so.
That they had a close win, as well as I think. Yeah,
they're very good.
Yeah.
And Gainesville's very good, too.
Now, did you see the North Hall, East Hall results?
Was that one of the ones that was over 40 points?
Yeah, they both of them scored over 40 points. And the winning team scored on the last play of the game on a Hail Mary pass team scored with 30 seconds to play. You think you score 30 seconds to play, you're pretty safe.
That's about like the Falcons getting their heart broken.
That was interesting, that little list they put out this week about how many 40-40 games there have been where both teams have scored over 40 points. And there were six games like that last week in the high schools in Georgia. And they were before the 70s. There were whole seasons. There might have been decades where there were not.
Like in 1956, there was like one game or something.
It's amazing how high school football has, all football, but high school football has caught up. And I just wonder if it's somewhat to do with all of that 7-on-7 stuff they do.
It is.
They practice it all year round now.
It for sure is. I had a guy tell me, and it was like this when I played. He said we ran the cast net offense. You know, when the play was over, you could throw a cast net over all 22 guys. That's not it. Yeah. Nowadays, when the play's over, they're all over the field.
Yeah, yeah, they spread out like crazy. They're outside the numbers even, you know.
But I know Oconee County goes down to Morgan County this week. I had my list. No, Cedar Shoals go down to Morgan County this week.
That's going to be tough for Cedar. Morgan County's really got it going this year.
Oconee County's at Stevens County.
Yeah.
Athens Academy is off, and they go to Commerce next week.
Okay.
So
speaking of Commerce, have they won a game yet?
I don't know.
They lost to Madison County last week. And of course they changed coaches this last year. I think they got a transfer quarterback in from Athens Christian, and they said they were going to introduce the forward pass at Commerce this year.
Well, for a long time, they didn't know what it was.
They thought that was against the rules, I think. But they've had a tough year so far this year.
Well, that'll be interesting. I'm kind of cheering for. I don't know. Prince is off. Prince goes to
Johns Creek, which is a 5A school over in the Atlanta area.
And they got killed by somebody this week.
They've played three games and yet to score this year, and lost all three of them in the 40s and 50s. Prince beat them last year 55-7, so it really will not be that much of a competitive game. And Prince will really maybe get a test the following week. They've got Westside out of Anderson, South Carolina coming in. Now, Westside lost in the state finals last year over in South Carolina. This year, though, they played Vestavia Hills, Alabama, and gave up 49 points. And then they played a team in South Carolina, also gave up 49 points. So the defense has not been their strong suit this year, to say the least.
Well, as we talked about last week, Clark Central, I guess, lost their best player, and they lost. They're off this week, but they kind of took it on the chin again. So I hope they can circle the wagons.
A score that I wanted to pay attention to was Grayson against Mallard Creek.
I saw that.
Prince Avenue played them last year and lost 31-21. And Grayson beat them, what was it, 63-14 or something like that. It was a very one-sided game. And Grayson's playing now with their second-team quarterback. After the first team quarterback got hurt, so they're loaded up. They're just a powerhouse team.
They're
number one in the state of Georgia for a reason, and loaded with athletes.
Full of athletes. Well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to get a lot more interesting down the stretch. Like back to Athens Academy, I'm cheering for Josh. It's going to be interesting after they kind of took it on the chin that first game, if they right the ship. And of course, Prince is sort of rolling a little bit in spite of getting.
Well, that was a tough loss up at Blessed Trinity, but, I mean, they lost to them last year. I really think they've got a chance to turn it around with the win if they beat Westside. Here's the thing that kind of hurts Prince, though, in playing a team like Westside. They won't get any credit for that when they start going to this power ranking system at the end of the year as far as where you get seated. Now, they beat Callaway. Now, Callaway won for the first time last week. So every time Callaway wins, that helps Prince Avenue. If Westside Macon can win some games, that will help Prince Avenue in the power rankings. Again, Johns Creek's not going to win any games, I don't think, so that's not going to help them. So they're not going to be the number one seed going into the playoffs when you get there. I mean, they're in the playoffs already. Every private school knows that you're in the playoffs before the season starts. Yeah. That's just the number of you have. But if they win the region, they've got a chance to be up there, you know, among the tops. And that's what they did last year. They beat Hebron and won the region. Now, Hebron lost to 2 weeks ago up at McCallie. Now, they play Blessed Trinity this week.
McCallie does?
No, Hebron does.
Hebron does, okay.
So it'll be good to see how that turns out. Well, and I've been encouraged to hear the reports out of Oglethorpe County. They won a couple of games this year. We've mentioned they beat Washington Wilkes for the first time. They lost last week.
I noticed they lost, yep.
But it sounds like they're a little bit more competitive. You know, just being competitive is a big part of it. You can be competitive. Well, people are happy to be part of the team. They'll work out. They'll try hard.
And that's what high school sports
there
is
you go.
About.
There you go.
Well, what did you think about college football? It turned out to be a little more interesting than
we
thought it was.
Let's put that on hold for a second. We'll come back and talk about college football in just a second here on Sidelines and Headlines. Hey, I'm Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden.
We're here with Sidelines
and Headlines.
You know, I teach a Bible study, and I have to give up and do a 20-minute summary each week. And I remember what somebody said a long time ago, said, before you get up and do that, make sure you've done two things. Gone to the bathroom and had a bottle of water handy in case you lose it. Yeah. I've been to the bathroom. I didn't have my water handy, but so we took a break to get some water now, so we're in good shape.
We appreciate the water.
This is Deer Park water, so maybe we'll get a little advertising money
That's
out
right.
of
it. And don't forget to like us, share us. And we appreciate everybody watching.
Spread the word, that's
Spread
right. Well, college football, of course, I went to the Georgia game. It turned into a marathon with the weather delay. And I was really kind of surprised at how many people came back for the second half. It was a decent little crowd that gathered and watched the second half of what was overall kind of a blah game. I don't know how much of it you saw.
I just watched a little bit of it. I made up my mind I was not going to get pass any judgment on Georgia with those first two games. It's kind of like Auburn. After they beat Baylor, they beat Ball State this week. They looked pretty good, and now they've got South Alabama this week. But I'm not getting mm-hmm. – I'm just wait and see until they play Texas A&M – or, excuse me, Oklahoma the following week. But what do you think about going up to Rocky Top?
Well, that's – you know, I've been interesting to watch all the memes and all the stuff on social media that's coming out about all the different Georgia people talking about, oh, we're going to go up there and win again, you know, and they bring up all the history of how every year Tennessee's all excited, think they're going to beat Georgia, and Georgia's now won for 8 straight years. And I'm thinking, that doesn't have anything to do with what's going to happen this week.
That's right.
What happened years ago is irrelevant to what's going to happen Saturday. And frankly, I'm a little concerned that I just don't know if Georgia is really ready to meet this challenge. From what I've seen out of Georgia, I still have the same questions. Is the offense going to be able to produce the kind of points that you need to win in this league? And I'm just not sure that they are. Gunnar Stockton, I thought, regressed last week. He looked like he was in a hurry every time. He didn't do any reads. He just looked one way, and that's where he threw the ball, and everything was short, 5-yard passes and nothing down the field to get explosive. And I'm just not sure that's going to work up against Tennessee. And the other aspect of that is I'm just not convinced the offensive line is doing what's necessary to create the kind of holes and protection that they need to run the offense. Now, they've been vanilla. They haven't done anything creative, and I'm sure they've been holding all that back. Maybe that'll make a difference this week.
Well, I heard Stinchcomb talking on the radio to Chuck Oliver earlier, and that was, you know, obviously he knows more about offensive mm-hmm. line play than I do, and that was his concern, which you just said about the line. Nothing would surprise me. I do think, you know, everybody talks about how hard it is to play on the road in the SEC. I do think that'll work in Tennessee's favor early in the season. I think if you know, Tennessee, if they get a little momentum, play good early, and for Georgia, it'll probably be, you know, can we weather the storm and you know.
Well, was it the last time they went up there where they scored on the first play of the game?
Yeah.
And the stadium went bonkers? And then they didn't really threaten the rest of the game, and Georgia came back and dominated the game. Here's the thing. Kirby has them ready. They're going to be as prepared as they can be prepared, and I don't think they're going to be overwhelmed by the environment. Is Gunnar Stockton, though, I mean, this is his first start in a road game. I mean, you think about that. He's never started a college football game on the road. He played on two neutral fields last year,
yep,
against Texas and against Notre Dame, and now he's started two home games against lesser opponents. So he still has some growing to do. He's still the guy that they're going to count on, though. I'd be very surprised if we see much of Ryan Puglisi this week. I don't think that's going to be a thing that they're going to do. Gunnar would have to really mess up for that to happen. Tennessee's without two cornerbacks.
I read that. I just, you're right. They've done a good job. I guess Kirby kind of did it with Saban. Saban's did such a great job just being consistent and being ready for every game. And I agree with you. I don't think Georgia's going to go up there and be intimidated or just lay an egg because they're playing on the road at Tennessee. But it's like you just said, with the new quarterback, early in the year, but you know, I tell you what—if you know, as an Auburn fan, you know, in a few weeks, I'm going to be cheering for them to beat Georgia. I almost hope Georgia wins because I think if Georgia loses, they'll circle the wagons and they'll win about eight in a row.
Well, of course, they'll have to get through Alabama before they get to Auburn with that game.
It'd be bad for Alabama too if they were to lose to Tennessee. But what about the Gators?
I'm not stunned that they lost. I mean, I thought South Florida had a good chance to keep the game close and be competitive. I mean, they beat Boise State convincingly the week before. Here's what stuns me is the lack of discipline that a player would spit on another player at the end of a game. And that's a big part of the comeback. How do you not have players? I mean, I know it's a heat of the moment thing, and maybe that's all it was just his emotions got the best of him. But you've got to consider where you are and what's at stake when you do something like that. And now he's put the whole program.
I don't think they had a single penalty in the first game. I think that's right, and they had whatever they had, and it was just terrible. But I think Florida is one of those programs, they're kind of like Georgia. That's why Georgia fans were so frustrated all those years. There's no excuse for them not being.
They do. They have, if you look at what they have going for them as a program, they have great weather. They're in a great conference. They have great population base to draw players from. Now, unlike Georgia, though, Georgia has to compete against fewer in-state schools for that talent. Florida's got to compete against not only Florida State and Miami, but now South Florida, Central Florida, Florida International, Florida Atlanta.
And everybody else coming down there.
Yeah, and then that's right, everybody else coming into the state to get those players. And they have a winning tradition. You know, I assume their facilities are up to snuff. I don't know that they're inadequate. So they have everything it takes to be a team that can compete at the highest level in college football, and they haven't done it since Urban Meyer left.
Well, everybody can't win every year, but no. I agree with what you said. I mean, it's just like LSU, like Georgia. I mean, if you go there and you're the coach, you got to win or else almost. And I mean, Spurrier and Urban Meyer set the bar pretty high. But to me, it's got to be. I know Georgia fans don't care. They hate Florida. And Billy Napier, regardless of what you think about him, he's going to make a lot of money out of the deal and he'll be fine. But he just kind of looks, he kind of looks lost. And it just, it's almost a shame if you're a Florida fan. To me, and this is somebody that's not necessarily a Florida fan, but I know Georgia fans won't agree with this. I just think they're one of those programs, when they're good, and I feel this way about LSU, when they're good, they're cool. I mean, they got a sense of style about them. You know, when Spurrier was there, when Urban Meyer was there, it was like, you might hate them, but they got it going on. You know what I mean? And for them to be like they are right now, it's just unbelievable.
Well, what is he 20-20 or something like that as a coach in the SEC or overall, whatever? He's basically 500, and you know, they just and this the gauntlet they've got ahead of them. There is absolutely no breaks in their schedule.
They had to win that game because the rest of their schedule.
Oh yeah.
I mean, even if they had a great year, they needed to you can't afford to
that was it. Probably the weakest game on the schedule forward. And now you got, what have they got, LSU next, and then they got Oklahoma, and then they got Texas A&M, and you know, the next four teams they play are all in the top 20. And then that, you hadn't even talked about what they get at the end of the season with Georgia. They're having to play them, and then Florida State, and then are they playing Miami too this year?
I guess they are. I think they are.
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, that's just, how is there any way possible that Billy Napier can weather this? He's got to win some games.
I mean, they go to LSU, you know. What if they were to beat LSU, and that wouldn't totally shock me.
No,
they beat
them
last year.
Yeah.
But they got to go out there.
Just how good is LSU? Do we really know?
I don't know.
I mean, they beat Clemson. Good win. But look at what Clemson did last year, last week. I mean, they
sputtered.
Were 16-0 behind. Who was they played?
Who did they play? Troy.
Troy, yeah. Which team out of Alabama. You know, and had to rally to win that game. And from what I understand, Klubnik did not set the world on fire in that game either. So maybe Clemson is, maybe they're not that good. And then LSU last week against Louisiana Tech was kind of like Georgia against
kind of lukewarm.
Austin Peay.
Well, speaking of Clemson, they play Georgia Tech Saturday. That'll be interesting.
Hey, I think I like Tech's chances in that game.
I do too.
You know, Brent Key is, I think finally Tech has the right guy to get on the job. And of course, the 8 overtime game last year against Georgia, they came so close to winning for the first time in a long time.
He's got that edge. He's a little bit like what Kirby is to Georgia for them, I think.
And he doesn't, you know, I've always felt with other Tech coaches, they weren't willing to challenge Georgia to recruit the same players as Georgia was. But Georgia has to beat Tech in recruiting now. And it's been a long time since that Georgia's had to do that. And personally, I've heard people say we shouldn't schedule Georgia Tech anymore. We have nothing to gain by beating them. But I hope Tech is relevant. I think it makes it, for a great game at the end of the year.
I think it's great. I mean, in the South, I mean, you and I are old enough to know when to realize and remember when. I mean, Tech, you know, going back to the 50s, I mean, they were the program.
Yeah.
I mean, and up until, you know, Coach Dooley came and Bobby Dodd was phasing out. I mean, they were the team. And of course, they've had some ups and downs. They've been pretty good since then. But I agree with you. I mean, it's better when they're good.
Yeah.
And
well, I like their chances against Clemson. You know, Haynes King is one of those athletic quarterbacks. He can beat you with his legs or his arms. And, of course, I like their backup quarterback, Aaron Filo.
Kind of
plays
Prince
Avenue guy. And we're proud of him from what he did with the Wolverines. And I really think he's got a great future over there.
I think he does. I hear nothing but great things about him at Tech. Well, last week we thought it wasn't going to be a great week. We had the Florida deal.
I know.
This week we got the Florida going to LSU. We got Alabama and Wisconsin, of all things.
Yeah, you know, that looked good when they scheduled it years ago. Yeah. Wisconsin's kind of taken a little step down. What did Alabama show last week with a very one-sided game over UL Monroe? Did that prove anything?
I don't think so. I think it's like the, you can't draw anything from that. Mm-hmm. If they come out and beat Wisconsin 48-0, you might be, Georgia fans might ought to pay attention. But I don't know. Vandy and South Carolina might be the most interesting
look
game.
Look at Vanderbilt. I mean, there's a team that was trailing at halftime and then scored 34 straight points to beat Virginia Tech. This is not the Vanderbilt it's you and I grew up with.
They believe they can win.
Yeah, and they can win. Now, who are they? They're playing South Carolina this week. So, yeah, that's going to be a great game. And I think South Carolina really has underperformed this year. I mean, they beat South Carolina State.
I think they had a weird like weather delay maybe too in that game. But the game's in Columbia. Texas A&M is at Notre Dame of all things.
Both those teams need to that game. That's one of those games. Notre Dame doesn't have a lot of opportunities to prove itself
That's a good point.
The committee. So they need to win that game. And plus, if they lose at home, that would make it look even worse. Now, they lost at home last year to Northern Illinois and still came back and got into the playoffs.
That's right.
Got all the way to the finals.
Everybody forgets that, yeah.
Yeah, got all the way to the finals. So who knows how that can be. But Texas A&M, of course, they had high hopes for that game last year when it was played in College Station and kind of laid an egg, you know. So I'm sure they want to come back.
You're right. I didn't think of it like that. I mean, that is the team that loses that game will kind of be perceived anyway as being in a bad spot. And you got Arkansas at Ole Miss. You'd think Ole Miss would win. Gosh, Arkansas, Sam Pittman needs a win, but he probably is not going to get it. And you got how about Mississippi State getting it done against
That was, I mean, just think, the team they beat last year was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They beat a playoff team.
And people forget about it.
Yeah.
Georgia's got to go to Mississippi State.
We
later.
Do.
Yeah, that's
later in the year. So that game looks all of a sudden looks a lot tougher. And now we've been to Mississippi State and won. As long as they don't play the game in Oxford, I think Kirby will be happy. But
well, they got Ole Miss in Athens. So I know they're happy about that. I tell you, the big game, though, Blake, of all the games, the Presbyterian College Blue Hose, my alma mater.
There you go.
I mean, they beat Mercer week one. They go to Furman and beat Furman in overtime by one. Barry, I didn't realize Barry Switzer's grandson plays for PC.
Really?
Scored the winning touchdown against Mercer, yeah.
How about that?
But PC, their athletics is in the Big South Conference, but football, they're in the Pioneer League. It's non-conference, non-scholarship football. They beat two ranked Southern Conference teams in a row. They got this week they got Erskine from DeWest, South Carolina, coming to town. They'll probably lose that one. But
well, they're going to be sending you an envelope very soon here.
That's right.
Jim, to pony up, get the alumni Ooh. Here. We're doing well. Help us out now. Send a big check over to PC.
I don't know.
What's the student body enrollment at Presbyterian?
Less than 1,000. When I was there, I graduated in 1990. It hovered right around 1,000, and I think it's about the same now. Now they have they have a pharmacy school and they have a PT school. So they've added like those type students, but the general student body is still around 1,000 students. But
If you wanted to, when you were at Presbyterian College and you wanted to go watch a college football game, would you go watch Presbyterian or would you go somewhere else?
I'm ashamed to admit this because I had some buddies, fraternity brothers that were on the team. And as I've told you before, I walked on my freshman year at Auburn, and I know what it takes to play college football my freshman year before I transferred to PC. And I felt, looking back on it, I felt like I was a terrible friend because I wasn't supportive enough of PC. In 87, they had some really good players. In 87, they went to the playoffs and got beat by Pittsburgh State out in Kansas. Mm-hmm. The Gorillas beat them. But They had some good players.
What's attendance like at a game when Presbyterian plays?
It's not good. And they'll tell you it's a big deal. They're talking about dropping football at one time, and everybody got up in arms. There's a guy named that went to school with me. He's a year older. You may know this name. I think he is an assistant coach at Madison County now. A guy named Alan Rodemaker.
Okay.
He was down at Peach County and went to Valdosta. won a state championship in his first season at Valdosta High School, and then they fired him after a couple of years. I don't know if you remember that.
Was he the head coach?
Yeah, it was a big scandal. I think that's after that's when they hired Rush Probst, and of course, they hired Rush Probst, and then he didn't even coach a game, I don't think. Anyway,
they were grasping for straws, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, there was several guys there with me that went on to be coaches. A guy named Tommy Atha was at Darlington for 30 years as an assistant and a head coach. Now he's at Cedartown. My buddy I've told you about before, Bill Malone, PC guy, was a coach at Morgan County for years. So it's kind of weird how a lot of those guys went into coaching. But anyway, the Blue Hose may be something to be reckoned with.
All right. Well, I have never been to like that level of college game. Now, my son played a little college soccer up at Atlanta Christian College, now known as Point University, and some basketball, and I would go to some of their games. And the basketball games were reasonably well attended. Students would come. Soccer matches, not so much. It would usually just be the parents who would be in the stands. They did not have football back then, so there was no opportunity to go to those kind of football games. So, you know, it's got to be tough for them to compete for attention with every game being on television. And, you know, it's so easy to just sit in your living room and go from channel to channel and watch this great lineup of college football games.
That's what I remember. I just sticks in my mind. It was a rainy day in Clinton, South Carolina, and I remember they had the lights on at the stadium at like 3 in the afternoon, and a couple of my buddies and I, we ride right by the stadium, headed to the game in Columbia to watch the Gamecocks play. So I feel terrible looking back on that. You know, I should have been supporting my guys, you know, and going to the game. But you're right, it's tough. The big deal with PC, I can't believe we're talking about Presbyterian
College.
That's
okay.
They played Thanksgiving Day, the big tradition they had that for years, and they stopped it. They may have started back. They played Newberry, which is right down the road from them. Similar. They were big rivals. They played on Thanksgiving Day for years, and that was the deal. Everybody in Clinton and Newberry, that's what you did on Thanksgiving Day. But called the Bronze Derby was the trophy.
Bronze Derby. Okay, that's great.
But anyway,
so what's the school over there that starts with a W? They're a little bit bigger school, I think. They play Georgia in baseball.
Winthrop.
That's it, Winthrop. Right. And they play Georgia in basketball as well. I know one year their baseball team came over here to Foley Field, and our season tickets, we would typically get some bleed over from visiting fans, and we had parents from some of the Winthrop players that were there and got to talking to them. And Georgia was actually going to make a trip over to Winthrop later in the year, and they kept saying, come on over to Winthrop and come to the game. But we just couldn't make the trip that time. So
it just seems like that small college culture is a little bit more in North Carolina and South Carolina, it's a little more. You know, you got Wofford and Spartanburg, Furman and Greenville, PC and Clinton. You got Newberry, Davidson up in North Carolina.
It's an interesting point you make. I don't know that you think about Georgia's colleges and what they do as far as college football. Now, of course, Kennesaw State is now fielding a team.
Right.
Mercer, are they back to playing football?
PC
just beat them. And then is Georgia Southwestern? Are they
playing? No, they're not playing anymore. They resurrected it for about 10 years back in the 80s.
Maybe not Georgia Southern's been at it for, you know, 40 years now after they resurrected and had great success. But for a long time there, in the state of Georgia, you know, Georgia and Georgia Tech were it.
That was it, yeah.
So you were a high school athlete in the state of Georgia, and you wanted to play in the state, there were not a lot of opportunities. Now, well, Shorter's got football.
Barry.
Does Barry play football?
They do, yeah.
I knew that Shorter did. I wasn't sure that Barry did.
That's right.
So,
but they, let's see, Barry, let's see, North Georgia does not play. Covenant, is it? What's the other school up there? Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, again, that Georgia-Tennessee game will be the game that I'll be paying the most attention to on Saturday night. Have you ever been up to a game in Knoxville?
I've been up there several times.
For Georgia games? Or
I have. I've seen Georgia play up there 2 or 3 times, and I saw Auburn play up there at least once. So
I guess the first time I went was when Herschel made his debut.
Were you at that game?
Yeah, I was at that game. It was a night game. Not many people saw the game. It wasn't on television. This was back in the day. Like I said, Herschel wasn't on TV much back then. And I'm trying to remember what my reaction was when he ran over Bill Bates for that first touchdown. And honestly, I cannot remember my reaction. What I do remember is in the locker room after the game, how happy Coach Dooley was and how relaxed and comfortable Herschel was in interacting with the media and everything as they interviewed him after the game. That was my first time going up there. I remember I spent, we had a funny deadline and I had to get stories in even before the game over, and I'd spent early part of the game talking to Tennessee fans in the bleachers. And they didn't even have I was stunned, they didn't have a contribution system that factored into who got season tickets at the time. It was just kind of a historical thing. You had them, you had them. And it didn't matter how much money you gave or whatever. So that was a little bit different. That was Bill Pace was the offensive coordinator up there at Tennessee, and he had been on the Georgia staff. His daughter, who died several years ago, married Doc Eldridge, who was mayor of Athens for many years. And but so Bill, there's the funny story told about, and you've heard this story, I'm sure, about the tight end at Georgia who went over to defensive end, and now my mind just went blank. Let me think. Miles. Miles. Robert Miles.
Robert Miles.
I was about to say Josh Miles. Josh is his son, who's in the ministry. He was on staff at First Methodist Church for a while. But Robert was switched from offense to defense. And Bill Pace made kind of a derogatory remark about Robert. And then that Irk Russell made that kind of a meme that they would spread through, and they would say it every week. And it's just got to be something funny they did all throughout the season. So it's I don't want to say the word.
Yeah, I was about to say we might have to edit
We're not one of those podcasts that throws those languages around.
No, that's right. So when you went up to, so you were working obviously at the game. Where did you, like, were you sitting in the stands or were you on the sideline?
We were in the press box.
In the press box. That makes sense.
And I've been up there other times too. I was up there with when Robert Edwards, I think, broke his foot.
I was at that game.
And I remember in that game, if that's the game I'm thinking about, is the first drive of the game, Georgia went right down the field, 7-8 yards at a play, scored a touchdown. And Tennessee came back and basically did the same thing, 7-8 yards at a play. It was like two perfect drives to open the game. And then Tennessee wound up winning the game. I was up there when Quincy Carter was playing. And Georgia was I was in the bleachers that time. I was there as a spectator. And Georgia made it close, and then Tennessee ran the next kickoff back, and all of a sudden that place just went bonkers.
I remember that.
Georgia didn't get close again. And so I've been up there several times, and you know, those folks up there, they take their football serious.
They do. And that's another thing. It's good. College football is better when they're good, you know. I mean, when they've struggled, it seems kind of sad, even if you're not a Tennessee fan. But I don't know if you remember, talking about the 80 team, I don't know if you remember a guy named Bobby Jackson that was an assistant coach all over. He's from Forsyth, my hometown. He's a Mary Persons guy. And he coached in the NFL. He may have a Super Bowl ring with somebody. I can't remember. He's in our little local Hall of Fame down in my hometown of Forsyth. But he was he was at Tennessee as an assistant and recruited a guy that a lot of people down south thought was going to be the next Herschel Walker from Forsyth, from Mary Persons. Which actually that would have been 1980, the fall of 1980. A guy named Alvin Toles at Mary Persons.
Okay.
Mary Persons won the state championship. He was a great player. Went to Tennessee. They moved him to linebacker. He made all SEC. Played in the NFL for the Saints a few years. But anyway, Bobby Jackson was a coaching circles. He was assistant coach from everywhere. He was from my hometown. Anyway,
I don't think he was ever
at Georgia.
I never crossed paths with him. Who was the head coach up there? Was that was it still Majors? Was he the head coach then? I did have another unusual encounter with Tennessee. This would have been in the '60s. Georgia and Tennessee didn't play each other very often. for a long time. But it, I think in 68 and 69, they played home-and-home series, and that was the first time they'd done that in a while. And the Tennessee coaching staff came to G-Day. The whole staff came to G-Day to scout the game. I guess that was legal back then.
Can you imagine that?
And I was driving the van that drove them from the Athens airport where they flew into to the game and back. And I remember going back, almost rear-ended somebody. And all those guys were thinking, great, here's this teenage boy. We're going to get killed in Athens, Georgia. But I remember they asked me, he said, are there any good players in Athens, high school football players? Well, I told them about Andy Johnson, who was certainly one of the best. But they wound up, they signed David Allen, who was 1 year older than Andy. And he wound up and went up there and was a three-year starter as a defensive back and was one of the top players on the team. I think he was all conference and then came back here and was a physician for a number of years and has since retired.
He didn't play in the NFL, did he?
I don't think he ever attempted to play in the NFL.
Well, obviously, in 1980, when we're talking about that time frame, you know, Johnny Majors was the coach, mm-hmm. won the national championship at Pittsburgh, beat Georgia in 76 with Tony Dorsett. I heard a great story. You probably heard this. You know, Johnny Majors finished second in the Heisman balloting behind Paul Hornung mm-hmm. in
55, and one or the other.
Hornung's the only team to ever win the Heisman on a losing team. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
And of course, Tennessee was great. I don't know where they finished, but and Johnny Majors was a quarterback, star player. Johnny Majors is in an interview and with Paul Hornung, and the interviewer looks at Johnny Majors and says, "All right, Coach, tell us who should have really won the Heisman Trophy in 1956. He didn't miss a beat. He said, "Jimmy Brown from Syracuse."
That's a great story.
That was awesome.
That's a great story. Well, you know, has Tennessee ever had a Heisman winner?
I don't think so. That's a good.
I mean, because you know, you thought about Peyton Manning when he was up there. That was the year they gave it to
the defensive guy, Woodson
at Michigan. Charles Woodson at Michigan. And, you know, and everybody thought that was a travesty that Manning did not win it. And, of course, Manning graduates the next year. They win the national championship with T. Wilson at quarterback, you know. So who knows how important he was and everything. So I guess they have a little chip on their shoulder about the Heisman things up there because their guys always come in runner-up.
That's a good question. I don't guess they ever have had a Heisman.
Of course, Alabama had never had one until recently, and now they've, what, three?
Yeah, Saban had three or four, didn't
he? Yeah, something like that. So, of course, it's been a while since Georgia's had one. I always feel like Garrison Hurst in 92 should have been the guy. And I saw a clip this week. His son is on the Georgia team. And he said, "My dad was the best running back Georgia ever had."
Well, he wasn't the best, but he might have been the second best.
Well, that's what his son said. He was the best. And I've said, okay, I'm glad he's standing up for his dad.
Yeah, I'm glad, too. I'd stand up for my daddy, too. But he was a really good player.
He was.
He was good.
Oh, he was. I mean, you talk about the greats of all time. He's up there among them.
I mean, if he'd have gone to the NFL and been in a situation maybe like, you know, he was kind of similar to me as Emmitt Smith, as Emmitt was mm-hmm. at Dallas. He might could have been something like that. He was that good. And it's weird he got hurt because he was such a compact guy mm-hmm. and so low to the ground.
I saw him get hurt. I was at that game. What? It was a playoff game against the Falcons.
That's right, it was.
I had a friend of mine who had four tickets.
I forgot all about that.
And I got to go with them, and that's one of the few times I've been to a Falcons game, and Hurst got hurt in that game.
I hated that for him.
Yeah.
He seemed like a pretty decent guy, too.
Oh, he is. I've met him since then. I got my picture made with him last year at the season opener when he came to watch his nephew play for Prince Avenue. My wife's cousin was his running backs coach at Lincoln County. That's Glenn Hardeman's his name.
Really?
Glenn and I grew up together. We were a few years older than Glenn, but we did all those things together, played pickup football, pickup basketball, all those kind of things. Glenn never played high school football. But he wound up being a coach at Lincoln County for like 20 years as an assistant
coach. For Larry Campbell.
And he started out, I think, up in Elberton. He was a math teacher up there in the high school. And they came to him and said, we need a football coach. And he said, I've never played football. I don't know anything about football. And they said, we'll teach you. And he took the position and he wound up being it really changed his life in a lot of ways. He had a positive influence on so many young people. I remember Prince Avenue in the playoffs 2 years ago played Bryan County. And the head coach at Bryan County was one of his players. He just had so many good things to say about my cousin, Glenn, about what an influence he had on his life. And so you just never know.
You know, and that's a great story. But I, not taking anything away from him, I think you and I could have coached Garrison Hurst, running back.
I think so, too.
It's funny, most of these running back coaches on college staffs, they're recruiters. Because mm-hmm. great running back, that's an instinctive position, you know? Yeah. I mean, if you're a good running back, you don't need a ton of coaching, I don't think.
Yeah. Even wide receivers need coaching to learn how to run routes.
Especially
and all
now,
this kind of,
it's sophisticated.
Oh, it is. The defense is a way to disguise. Can you read defenses, Jim?
No. Like I said, I played in the cast net offense. I just had to. I just had to hit the spot.
You had certain keys and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they run up with these things. And the announcers, these guys, they're experienced at it. They talk about the cover two, the cover three, all those different kind of things. And I'm just not good at reading those defenses. I wish I was, but I can't do it.
That was before my time. It was a lot simpler back when I played.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to make a prediction, Georgia-Tennessee? How do you think it's going to come out?
I think Georgia wins, but it's going to be a close game.
I'm on the same page. I think Georgia's going to win, and it'll be a close game. I'm thinking it's probably going to be a low-scoring game, maybe something like 24-17, something like that for Georgia. What about Arkansas and Mississippi? Who you liking that
one? I think Ole Miss gets it done.
Yeah. Florida, LSU.
LSU.
Even though I agree – I just wonder how good LSU really is. We're going to find out.
Well, maybe. I wonder that. And if there's any – if Billy Napier's got any whatever in him left, they will circle the wagons and they will go out there and play well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you know, wouldn't it be something if they pulled that off?
How about Vanderbilt, South Carolina?
I think the Gamecocks at home.
Yeah, it is at home. But I tell you, Vanderbilt just keeps surprising me. You know, we did that – better worse thing. We both said Vanderbilt was going to do worse, and now I'm thinking, maybe we misread this team.
Well, this might be a big if, but if they could win that game, how huge would that be?
South Carolina, did they get 2 punt return touchdowns last week?
Yep.
You know, you don't get that very often.
No.
So maybe they're not quite. And Lenore Sellers he's been kind of flat early in the year. So
after that very first drive of the year,
when
they took it down the field against Virginia Tech. But we talked about it a little bit last week. I think the Gamecocks, I don't think they're going to go out there and lay an egg at home against Vandy. Mm-hmm. I just really don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Clemson Tech?
I like Tech on that. Where are they playing?
I think it's at Tech.
I just like Tech. Again, I just think Clemson is floundering a little bit right now. And, they don't – I think – didn't they switch a wide receiver to running back?
They did.
And, you know, that kind of indicates maybe there's a little bit of skill issue, talent level issue that's not there. Usually those experiments can work sometimes, but they don't. I mean, it worked with Robert Edwards switch from cornerback to tailback. Ray Goff probably should have had him at tailback all along. But lots of times those things don't work out too well. But so I'm going to go with Tech on this one.
Bama, Wisconsin.
Oh, Bama. Bama will win. I don't know that they'll win convincingly, but I just think, you know, Florida State got their attention still, and they're gonna play well. Now, their next test, of course, is going to be coming to Athens, and that's going to be a test for both of them.
It will be.
What a game that will be.
Wouldn't that be something after – what's gone on to this point if Bama beat came comes to Athens.
When's the last time Georgia beat Bama in Athens? I'm trying to remember.
1985?
Could be.
Labor Day night or whatever it was with Mike Shula as the coach. They had to have beaten him since then, hadn't they?
Well, they beat him when Stallings was the coach one year, I think.
They did. They beat him in 90 when Georgia was 4-7.
That's right.
Coach Stallings, his first
1990.
Georgia
right.
beat him. Yeah.
That's right. That may be that the last time.
That's ironic that they beat him that year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we need to sign off, but Jeff Dancer was our Rotary Club last week, and he told the old joke. Speaking of Clemson, this should be one of Irk's favorite jokes. You know,
I've heard it 100 times.
Okay. Well, if anybody there hadn't heard it, I probably shouldn't tell it. I'd get it wrong. But when Clemson University was founded, the original name was Clem, and they needed an acronym. That didn't sound sophisticated enough, so they added S-O-N, chivalry, honor, and knowledge.
You got it just right, Jim.
All right,
that's a good one to sign off with. Hey, follow us, like us, tell your friends about us, and look for us again next week. I'm Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden.
This has been Sidelines
and Headlines.
Thank
y'all.
See you next week.
Thank y'all for joining.